The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hendra. And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Tony, it's Halloween time. What are you doing to celebrate?
Nothing.
What? Why? I mean, Halloween is the best holiday. It's all about death and candy and pretending to be someone you're not.
It's not for me.
Oh, why? Is it too pedestrian for your British sensibility? You know, you've lived here long enough. I think your accent should be gone by now.
No, it's not that.
Oh, what? Are you too sophisticated to put on a funny costume? I mean, you can do it with your voice and ideas, but heaven forbid you have to look a little bit silly.
Nope, not that either.
Does Halloween scare you?
Scare me? Halloween's not scary. But you know what's scary? That Boston, home of all good fine lefty libs, allows that jumped-up, boony-bred, fly-blown sack of proto-fascist, anti-American, corporatist, human sewage, David Koch, to sit on the board of the best public TV station in the U.S., WGBH. Why, Boston? Why?
Oh, God, no, Tony, not this again. Come on, we have a show to get to.
And MIT, a few miles down the road in Cambridge, let this suppurating boil on the ass of the Union build an entire cancer center there. This mecca, this holy place of science, took the filthy lucre of a guy who spends hundreds of millions of dollars a year denying climate change and shitting on scientists. Why, MIT? Why?
Oh, please, Tony, stop.
Okay, I'll give you this. Calling David Koch filth is deeply offensive. To filth.
Tony, for your own mental well-being, I'm begging you. Less Koch and more about California's affirmative consent law, the lifestyles of the rich and a-holes, Ebola, terrorists, or the lying bastard extremists everywhere.
Actually, that does sound interesting. So where is all that?
It's in this week's show.
In this week's show?
Yeah, this week's episode of...
The Final Edition Radio Hour.
Why am I Republican? I'm Republican because I believe in freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And you know who said that? The Taliban.
I believe in cutting taxes, raising military spending, and complaining about the deficit.
I believe in the death penalty for all murderers, whether they're guilty or innocent.
I believe in an open economy where American children can once again spend 12 hours a day sewing shirts.
I believe in embracing new ideas like reversing abortion rights, stoning homos, and having large feudal landowners with indentured servants.
I want to lift regulations because if all the pollutants from all factories can rush into the air at once, I believe they will more or less cancel each other out.
I believe in a reduction of unemployment, like we're already having, but with a Republican.
I believe that people are sitting around accepting government subsidies because I believe this is still the 1960s, and I believe Johnson is president.
I believe in giving people power over their own lives. Except the majority of Americans who actually want Democrats in Congress, I believe in not letting them vote.
We are Republicans because we believe in the opposite of Barack Obama. And someday we will figure out what's the opposite of the middle.
Governor Jerry Brown of California recently signed a controversial law, SB 967, designed to reduce campus sexual assault. It requires students who wish to engage in sexual activity to obtain affirmative, conscious, and voluntary agreement to engage in sexual activity. This can be verbal or communicated through actions. Also, consent to one kind of contact cannot be taken to mean consent to another. In other words, a kiss goodnight does not mean either he or she is ready for 50 Shades of Grey, okay? So, how does this new law work in practice?
Do you want to have sex?
I guess so.
You have to say yes.
Yes. Do you?
Yes.
Okay. So now, according to SB 967, We have to decide what kind of contact we're going to have, and we both have to say yes to what we decide. Ready?
Yeah, and I think we should record it on my iPhone. That way, if you accuse me later of sexual assault, it'll show a clear affirmation of consent was given by you, the accuser, to me, the accused.
Are you taking law?
Yeah.
Why would I ever do that? I like you. I know you a little bit. You're pretty hot, and to be honest, I'm really turned on right now.
Yeah, me too. You're beautiful, you know?
You're sweet. You could take off my tank if you like.
Okay.
Hey!
Oh my god, who's that?
You're in big trouble, mister.
What? Who is that?
Governor Jerry Brown, making spot checks on California campuses to ensure SP-967 is being complied with.
Am I in trouble?
You betcha. You removed that female's tank top without her affirmative consent, thereby touching her breasts.
But I kind of wanted him to touch them.
Too bad. You didn't say yes. Instead, did you give him a clear signal of affirmative consent to remove clothing from an intimate part of your body?
I said he could.
Could is the conditional tense. He could if what?
If he liked?
Not a clear enough signal. All guys like breasts. They're animals. California law says your friends just committed misdemeanor sexual battery. 6 months in the county jail. A $2,000 fine.
Oh my god, I'll be kicked out of UCLA. I won't get a job. I won't be able to pay my student loan.
And lifetime registration as a sex offender.
Get in the fucking car, you pervert.
This is Jerry Brown saying, another sexual predator bites the dust. Sleep safe tonight, California.
Your guide to false equivalence. This week's parallel.
Conservatives and liberals, they both live in a bubble.
Here's a recent headline from the Los Angeles Times.
Partisans segregate themselves in separate news universes, study finds.
The study came from the Pew Research Center, and it did indeed find that liberals and conservatives relied on different news sources. On the conservative side, nearly half agreed that Fox News was their main source of current information. On the liberal side, nearly half relied on no source in particular. About 10% liked CNN, 10% liked MSNBC, some liked NPR, some read the New York Times. Out of 36 news sources in the survey, liberals generally trusted 28 of them. Conservatives trusted 8. Here's math professor George Maxwell from Harvey Mudd College with that lesson in equivalence.
28 is equivalent to 8.
Of course, the survey does show liberals blocking out some information sources. Notably, blocking out Fox News. And let's face it, liberals, the only reason you think Fox News is so untrustworthy is that it is so unworthy of trust.
PolitiFact. Fox News has the highest falsehood rating for any major network.
Two different surveys out of Fairleigh Dickinson University. Fox News viewers are less well-informed on current events than any other kind of viewer.
The Union of Concerned Scientists. Fox News reporting on climate science in 2013 was completely accurate only 28% of the time. CNN, 70% of the time. MSNBC, completely accurate, 92% of the time.
Again, Professor George Maxwell from Harvey Mudd.
28 is equivalent to 92.
Also,
since we already established that 28 is also equivalent to 8, 8 is now equivalent to 92.
And that's this week's guide to false equivalence.
Good evening. And welcome to another installment of Gilded Cages, the lifestyles show for the new Gilded Age. I'm your host, J. Forrest Moneypacker Smith. Remember Hummers? No, not the kind of Hummer that one could get from a weeping nanny who was afraid of being reported to the INS. I'm talking about the automobile. From the Hamptons to the Hamptons, is there anywhere else? The vehicle of choice among the fun-loving minions of the well-heeled set used to be the Hummer. Today, the smart money, not to mention the excess money, is going to yet another military-derived mode of transportation. No self-respecting, conspicuous consumer can be seen in a mere private jet. Introducing the latest must-have transportation item, the private Harrier jet. The jump jet, as aficionados like to call it, is best known for its vertical takeoffs, perfect for the harried urban businessman in a hurry to get to evening cocktails. Manhattan isn't known for its runways. With your own private Harriet jet, you can take off directly from Wall Street, Park Avenue, or any skyscraper-lined boulevard in the city. You'll save the time of a limousine ride to a private airport, and you'll save yourself the legal hassles involved if you took off from Lower Manhattan in a conventional jet. This would necessarily topple several buildings, an unwelcome reminder of 9/11 for your Manhattan president. But a word of warning. The thrust vectoring involved in a vertical takeoff creates a fiery exhaust of several thousand degrees. One is well advised to have a flame-resistant takeoff pad or to ascend only from locations that you don't mind incinerating. Handy options include a mid-air refueling kit for convenience and up to four laser-guided sidewinder missiles for fun. That's all for now. On our next installment of Gilded Cages, we'll have suggestions for where to jet off to.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Now, a very special Halloween message from the Final Edition. Everyone likes to have fun on Halloween, so let's do it in a way that's fun for everyone. Please avoid costumes that could be offensive or hurtful to some people. Take this little girl, for instance. What are you dressed up as, sweetie?
I'm a witch. That's why I have green skin and warts.
I'm sure you meant well, but that hurts the feelings of this lady right here.
Hi, little female warrior. My name is Morningstar Moonchild. I'm a practicing Wiccan, or as some people say, a witch. But your costume perpetuates a stereotype promoted by the patriarchy.
Oh, it came from Target.
Chain stores are another problem, but you can make a lovely Wiccan priestess costume out of free trade cotton and tons of patchouli oil.
What about this little boy? What's your costume, sonny?
I'm a hobo!
No, you're an insult to real homeless people, like this man.
Got a dollar?
No. All I have is a bag full of candy.
That'll do. Hand it over. Let's see, Skittles, mini Snickers, Tootsie Rolls, fucking Necco wafers. Who gave you that crap? Here, you keep those.
And this boy. That's a fancy costume, son.
I'm Batman.
Have you thought about how hurtful that is to the actual Batman?
Yeah, kid. I'm Batman, okay? The real Batman.
I'm sorry. I didn't think there was a real Batman.
The kid has a point. You look vaguely familiar. Say, aren't you the actor Michael Keaton?
Look, asshole, I haven't had a real job since that role, so I'm Batman, got it? And you, punk, you want a costume? Go as Christian Bale. All you have to do is shout obscenities at a director.
Okay, grown-up costumes can be offensive as well. You, young woman, what is your costume?
Ooh, I'm slutty nurse. Let me take your temperature.
You might want to take the blood pressure of this woman you just insulted.
Who the fuck are you?
Slutty nurse.
Slutty nurse? Fucking fake tit whore. Give me that wig.
Ow, that's my hair.
Good. I'm a slutty nurse, bitch. Well, I was a nurse till they fired me. Melissa, you can't have sex with the patients. Well, here's what I say. If he can get an erection, is he really in that deep of a coma?
Finally, there's this man. Is that a costume?
Sure, it's a costume. What does it look like?
Your face is painted brown, and you have two brown pillows tied to the sides of your head.
I'm a giant talking butthole. Get it? Ha! Oh, I have to fart.
That is deeply offensive to real giant talking buttholes.
I feel disempowered by your crude portrayal of me.
Make it go away, bro! I'm sorry, Mr. Butthole!
I'm tired of having my work marginalized. Oh, now I have to fart.
Oh, awesome!
My mistake.
Hey, Butthole, Do you have an agent? Are they taking new clients?
Say, butthole, you look familiar. Didn't we make out at a party?
God, I hope not.
I remember having my tongue so far down your throat I could taste it.
That wasn't a throat. And yes, I do remember you.
We're out of time. Just remember, the word for this Halloween is inoffensive.
Let's do it again, butthole.
Do me a favor and eat a breath man first, will ya?
And now, Jim Earle with another obituary of a real dead person.
Maurice Graham, King of the Hobos. King of the Hobos, Maurice Graham, finally caught the westbound train last week after telling loved ones he was dogging it to a couple of soup bowls for a handful of snipes and some spear biscuits. At first, witnesses thought he was just chucking a dummy in order to give a bull and a couple of bone polishers the slip, while others thought maybe he caught a bug after frying up some bad mix on his banjo. Even the local punks said maybe he'd gone rum-dum for the corner slop tart, but they were easy marks and soon were back honey-dipping at the county big house. Suffice it to say, Maurice is up in heaven packing the mustard, hitting the grit, sharing some nickel notes, and jawboning around the boodle. Yep, all's hunky-dory in Clown Town. I have no fucking idea what all that means, but I do know this. There's one less guy in stinky clothing taking a dump in the Amtrak parking lot. A perennial favorite, Graham was voted National Hobo King 5 times at Iowa's annual Hobo Convention after 2 other contestants were frozen out of the competition when they were discovered frozen out in the asparagus car. Graham once told reporters, quote, "A hobo is just a guy who went camping and never came home." By the way, that description also applies to axe murderers. When he finally returned home for good, the white-bearded Graham adopted a new identity by dressing up as Santa Claus and spending the next 30 years asking children for work. Graham requested people throw down half a yard or at least an ace spot or two to help fellow yeggs get unhooked from speedballin' ink.
Anyway, if you want to hear more tasteless obituaries, buy Jim's book, Morning Remembrance. Remember, morning is spelled with a U, because we can't have death without you.
Oh, Rachel is going to be so surprised when she sees us. Oh man, I love surprise parties.
Me too. What did you guys tell her you were doing today?
I made up this whole story about how my boss needed me to close the restaurant on her birthday. You should have seen the look on Rachel's face. She was so crushed.
Ha! Good surprise alibi, Steve.
Yeah, she's going to be super surprised when she sees you guys.
my turn. I told Rachel that I had to go back home to Saratoga Springs this weekend because my mom fell down a flight of stairs and I had to be hooked up to a respirator.
What?
Yeah. You should have seen Rachel's eyes when she found out I'd been missing her entire birthday to care for my comatose mother. Oh, she's gonna be so surprised when she sees me here.
That's really messed up, Adam.
Come on, mister. I have to work on your birthday. Don't act like you didn't lie to Rachel. It's all about the surprise.
I don't think it's the same.
Well, if you really want to surprise Rachel, you should have done what I did and faked your own kidnapping.
I'm sorry, what?
Check it out. Earlier today, Rachel and I were walking home from the park when all of a sudden, a van pulls over and 3 masked men get out and run towards us.
Please, no.
They push Rachel to the ground, then they drag me into the van and speed away. You guys should have seen Rachel running after that van. Beads of sweat were dripping down her face as she screamed out, "Jessica! Jessica!" God, she is going to flip her shit when she sees me tonight.
How could you do that?
It was easy. I just paid a few meth heads to abduct me. Who says they're too crazy to work?
Nice.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, come on, mister. I have to work all day on your birthday.
Quit calling me that.
Look, we all lied to Rachel.
I didn't stage my own abduction.
Well, I didn't lie to Rachel, but I have a feeling she's going to be pretty surprised when she sees me.
Why? What did you do?
I sent Rachel a video of me and her little sister. Boning.
What?
Surprise! She's gonna be completely
out of this world surprised to see me.
No, she's going to be incredibly pissed off to see you.
But no, I... Shit.
You all ruined Rachel's birthday. You should be ashamed of your...
Guys, I hear someone coming.
She's here. Hide! Oh my God! Is she holding a gun?
Worst birthday ever! Goodbye, cruel world!
Rachel! No!
You!
Oh my God! You shot Steve!
Rachel, why? You know exactly why, mister. I have to work on your birthday.
Quit calling me that.
Scientists report that Neanderthals and humans first mated 50,000 years ago. The final edition asked the man on the street, what do you think?
Well, that didn't stop 50,000 years ago. This is my wife, Raylene.
50,000 years ago, that's also when they invented beer. Am I right? You see, they all got drunk. That's the only way you could fuck my wife.
50,000 years ago, they fucked a Neanderthal. Last week, a guy I know fucked a dog.
Speaking of the Irish...
Good evening, and welcome back to Gilded Cages, the lifestyle show for the new Gilded Age. I'm your host, J. Forrest Moneypacker Smith. On our last installment, we suggested buying a private Harrier jet for the mogul on the move. And where are you going to take your weekend attack aircraft when the social season is over? To your private island? Really? How passé? How positively droll. Everyone and their black sheep brother has a private island these days. Think big, friends. The truly gilded will do with nothing less than a private continent. Ostentatious? Well, of course. And talk about exclusive. Ownership of private continents is necessarily limited to a select group of seven. The budget-minded may want to go with Antarctica. Plenty of sunlight in the summers. Although on a down note, there are no southern exposures. It's simply not possible from the South Pole. Global warming makes this an investment with a future. Today's penguin rookeries are tomorrow's vineyards. In a few years, you will more than make up the purchase price by marketing your own exclusive Polar Pinot. More discerning consumers may want to go with North or South America, or the top-of-the-line Europe-Asia combo, we'd like to call Eurasia. If you're in the big money set, chances are you already own big chunks of one or more of these. There's always Africa. Colourful, if you're into that sort of thing. Oh, and don't forget Australia. Smallish, but makes a perfect pied-à-terre. That's all we have time for in this edition of Gilded Cages. I'm J. Forrest Moneypacker Smith. We'll be spending more time together... But in the meantime, keep spending.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
Hi, this is Tony Hendrick. Last month, while dining with my old pal, Terry Jones... That's the Monty Python Terry Jones, not the mustachioed, Koran-burning bigot from Florida. I met two very funny and unusual young men. Goodisman and Ju, that's J-O-O, Kyung Ki Ju is Korean, belong to a rarefied and splendid tradition which includes, amongst others, Victor Borge and Dudley Moore, classical musicians with an abiding and glorious irreverence about classical music. They passed through New York this week, and I jumped at the chance to get to know them better.
I'm here with Kyung Ki Ju. Is that correct?
Pretty close. Yeah. Kyung Ki.
Kyung Ki.
Yeah.
Okay. And Alexei, I can't say your last
Alexei
name.
Alexei Igudesman.
Igudesman. How would you guys describe yourselves in two words or less?
Well, Well, we're musicians. We are classically trained. And we also love comedy and theater.
I think a tagline could be Mozart meets Monty Python.
Okay.
Or South Park meets Bach.
Yeah.
South Park meets Bach. Something like this. I mean, we... South Bach meets Park.
Yes.
No, just South Park.
So in other words, it's either Mozart Python or South Park.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. And two words. You could have said that right in the beginning.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now
we know. You learn something every day.
You learn every day. Right. I mean, basically, we are passionate musicians. We love music. Essentially, we are, in our hearts, we are musicians. But we're also very passionate about humor and about the theater. Why we separate theater and humor is because they're two different things.
Let's just ask the obvious question,
yes.
Which is that for most people, classical music is incredibly serious, right? For many, it's incredibly dull. Not for me, luckily. Mm-hmm. But it is a very serious pursuit, and it is pursued seriously. What do you feel you draw out of classical music that's comedic?
So all this kind of elitist ceremony that surrounds classical music and classical musicians, that just has absolutely nothing to do with the music.
It's entirely redundant, actually, in many ways, because the music itself, it can be serious, but often it's not, if you think of Mozart, of Beethoven. It's just because it's presented in such stiflingly serious manners these days.
It wasn't like that at the time.
Exactly.
Like,
that's why people think it's serious. But actually, there's so much humor. There's humor in Bach. There's humor in Haydn, especially, in Mozart, in Beethoven. Basically, at the time, the practice of performing at the time was much more open than these days. At the time of Mozart and Beethoven, people used to play separate movements. They used to chat in between. They were used to tell sometimes jokes, for example.
Well, Mozart would improvise cadenzas. Right,
there was a famous letter from Mozart to his dad that said, "My God, I just played the first theme for my new concerto. They loved it so much. They applauded so much. We had to start again, like a rock concert." If these days, if you start applauding in the middle of a symphony, they'll shoot you.
Oh, yeah.
Probably in the concert hall.
In
Texas, they'll shoot you. But, certainly this is something we are really trying to change. Because in our performances, when we go out as Igudasman and Jew and do one of our various shows, one of them is called The Little Nightmare Music, for example, we have things we perform seriously as well, but many things that doesn't require laughter, but usually it brings laughter with one. And so the audiences tend to respond much more spontaneously, to clap and
right.
to just, I don't know, it just seems much more of an organic process to go to a concert hall to have a good time rather than to go there and to either sleep or
mourn the death
of something, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
You're trying to sort of recharacterize classical music in a way. You're actually doing well-known familiar pieces, but you're doing them in ways in which people have never heard them, but it is the piece.
Yeah, we look at different angles of it, for example.
Right.
It's often actually arrangement and often even just our own take on it. And the humor is actually, it's just a byproduct in many ways. So when people come to our performances, we don't just have musical geeks going there like, oh, I know, that's an F sharp instead of an F. Oh, very clever. Not right. at all. We have kids, people who have no idea about music. So we try to write on different levels, even though in this piece, for example, we do have certain characteristics we change about the piece. The introduction,
yes, but it doesn't matter if you know, we exactly. change it from A minor to A major. And you don't have to know what minor major means. It's so obvious when you hear right. it. And of course, we add some visual happy faces or whatever. But it's so clear. This one is minor, kind of a bit sad down, and the other one is major. And people hear immediately the difference. And I think the people who also don't know about what minor major is, I think they feel kind of a bit proud of themselves that, oh, I get that joke. So it's really for everyone.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry. Could we play this today in A major?
No.
Well, it's Mozart alla Turca in A minor, so you can't really play it in A major because it's
yes,
in
I
a different
that,
key.
But look where we are, man. Yeah. We're at the WGBH studios in Boston.
And?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, here it's like, you know, it's New England. It's all a new energy. It's, you know, the new world and everything. It's everything is much, much higher. It's more positive. And you know what? The feng shui here is A major. Come on, play an A major.
Oh, come on, what is it?
I'm so sorry to do this on radio. What? Sorry. Look, it's just, it's better. It's better.
Yeah.
But it needs to sound more oriental. More Turkish, Arabic, Jewish, Hispanic, Indian, Asian, Chinese. Yeah? You know, like yin yang, tai chi, sing tao ping pong.
I don't think I quite get what...
Yeah, okay, all right, okay. Your bees.
My bees.
Yeah, your bees.
My bees?
Your bees.
My bees.
No, the note B.
Okay, yes.
Which you play.
Yes, what about it? Yes.
It's too high.
Too high. Yeah?
This is where you feel your bees.
Yes?
Yeah, no. I want you to feel your bees
lower.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, just open your chakra. Just open your chakra. No, your chakra. Here. Just release from within. That's
okay.
That's it. Yeah, release.
Okay.
Open. Share yourself. Now, open your mouth wide. Stick your tongue all the way out. That's it. Great. Now, breathe in deep. Breathe out deep. Inhalation deep. Exhalation. Yes. Breathe it in and breathe it out. That's it. That's great.
I feel sick.
Okay. All right. Okay. Look. Okay. Let's not waste time. Look. Just play B flat instead of B. Okay? B flat. Yeah. Yeah. Always B flat. B flat. Breathe.
Thank you.
exactly which part of B flat do you not understand? B flat!
That's drawn me to your work is that I love doing comedy with music. But are you ever in a kind of more satirical mode where you actually want to bring down
absolutely
a style or
absolutely a style. But we don't pinpoint it.
For whatever reason we've tried not to pinpoint people because
so we don't mention names, we don't we won't say we're making fun of this particular person or this particular style or this but we'll still do it,
and
we'll try to write it in such a way that even those who don't know would get it.
And in a way, actually, in a good parody, one should sometimes have the feeling like, wow, that's like really good. That's like, when it's a musical parody, it's like, wow, that's actually beautiful playing.
Yeah, well, remember we were talking last night about Dudley Moore and Beyond the Fringe, and his parodies of Beethoven and Benjamin Britten.
But they're brilliant as well. They're brilliant musically. Yes. I would listen to that as a composition.
Right.
We pay homage, actually, to Dudley Moore as well. In A Little Nightmare Music, we also have a grand finale based on his finale. We take it further.
This unending series of chords.
Beethoven's
Fifth Symphony.
Right. The
unending coda.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've actually transcribed that, but for violin and piano, and, you know, made it a lot more physical than what he does, but because that's what we love that music.
Right.
Could you scratch me? Oh, it's better. A little lower. Just a little lower. Not that low!
Has that such an institution as these great orchestras behind you, then it gives you another power and another stamp of approval in a way. And we think that's a wonderful thing because then the audience feels, okay, well, if this great maestro or orchestra or whatever approves this, then I guess it is okay to laugh in the concert hall and it is okay to
To be silly.
Yeah,
to be silly. To make fun of yourself.
You have some kind of dream to put your own orchestra together.
Well, it's basically, we've collected 16 musicians from all over the world. And they are superheroes. They are not just super musicians, but they each have at least one super skill. One of them can fly. We have like acrobatic violinists. We have a fire-eating violinist. We have a bass player who does flamenco.
Dancing at the same time.
As singing and playing the double bass.
We have a
beatboxing flutist, etc., etc., etc.
We have some of the violinists are extraordinary dancers and are able to dance and play the violin at the same time. So we thought, how can we have a show that truly reflects all the madness that is inside of our head? So we decided to form the League of Extraordinary Musicians.
The League of Extraordinary Musicians will debut in Vienna on New Year's Eve 2014. The orchestra sounds like it's going to be a wonderfully subversive addition to the world of concertos, symphonies, and farting bassoons. All there is left to say to Goodisman and Jew is bravissimo! Tony Hendra, we'll be back after this.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Are you there, Allah? It's me, Muhammad. First off, I would like to apologize for taking up your time. I know you have much bigger Jews to fry. But right now, I have all of these emotions inside of me just waiting to explode, and not in a good way. You see, Allah, when I woke up this morning, I thought it would be a glorious day. The sun was shining, the camels were feasting, and I was pretty sure the seventh wife and I had successfully made baby number 49 the night before. Ah, seventh wife, what a beauty. Of course, that will all change once she has gone through puberty. But this was no time to think negative thoughts. No, this was a day to celebrate. A day for music. A day for fresh turbans and even fresher virgins. Yes, this was going to be a good day, Allah. Because this was the day that I, little Mohammed Ben Nobody, runt of the training camp, laughing stock of the cave, I would finally be named the Taliban's next suicide bomber! Good morning, third wife. Good morning, legitimate son.
Hey, Dad.
What are you working on?
A report that was due 2 days ago.
I know what you're thinking, Allah. Should I be allowing a wife to speak directly to me? It's a curious question I often ponder myself, but the truth is, I need third wife to talk to me. She is, after all, my eyes and ears for the household. Well, eyes. So, son, what is this report about?
It's about what I want to do when I grow up.
And what would that be?
A social worker.
A what?
A social worker. You know, a person who works in a hospital or homeless shelter.
I sometimes worry that my son is mildly autistic. I mean, how else do you explain this behavior? But don't you want to be like me? Or like your brother, illegitimate son?
I'd rather help people.
So I guess terrorism isn't good enough for you? Is that it?
It's not that, it's just...
Let me tell you something, legitimate son. Terrorism is the only reliable industry in this entire world. It is the only business that is constantly recruiting. It guarantees full-time employment, and it is always on the cutting edge of American throats.
I guess.
And you want to know what else? By the end of this day, your old man will be named the Taliban's next suicide bomber.
So?
So? Just think. In a few days, you can tell all of the other kids that your dad destroyed an Israeli school bus all by himself. Now, how many of your friends can say that about their parents?
Well, there's Abdullah's dad, Jamal's dad, Farik's mom.
Okay. I don't need a whole goddamn list.
You just said a bad word.
Technically... Damn is not a bad word if you put the Judeo-Christian God in front of it. Don't they teach you anything at school?
Mom, will you please tell my half-sister try to remove that this is my burqa?
No, it's my burqa. Dad and Moms gave it to me for Ramadan.
We don't even get presents for Ramadan.
Well, maybe you don't, because you're not as legitimate as me.
For the record, Allah, I completely understand and agree with your decision to silence the female sex. Enough! No one is wearing the burqa!
What? That's so unfair.
Fair? Please. That thing is so low-cut I can almost see your nose.
Ugh, this family sucks.
You are so getting stoned for that, young lady.
It's not like I have a life anyway.
Are you actually going to follow through this time?
Yes, this weekend. Wait, no. The game is on this weekend.
What game?
IDF versus the missiles. I was actually thinking about inviting some of the guys over afterwards for hookah and honor killings, if that's okay with you.
Mohammed, this is serious. I'm concerned about our daughter.
She's just a kid. You were the same way at that age. Remember how you put up a fight every time I tried to penetrate you? Eventually, they learn.
Do you know that the other night I caught her and two of her girlfriends reading? Before you know it, she'll be sneaking off to school and learning arithmetic. Is that what you want?
No.
Then do something.
I could tell third wife was getting frustrated with me. This wasn't just about second daughter. This was much deeper than that. You see, Allah, it had been weeks since third wife and I had any passion in the bedroom. Truth be told, I hadn't beaten her in weeks. And I worried she was losing faith in me, that I wasn't the man she once resisted. My only hope was that this promotion would rekindle our passion. Beheader! Those knives are looking sharper every day. Kidnapper! Is it just me or are those bags of African children getting fuller by the week? You know, I'm not a big fan of Kidnapper.
He's nice.
He's lazy. You wouldn't kill him to try to get a white child every now and then.
No turban?
Maybe.
I like it. It accentuates your cheekbones.
Well, it's kind of a big day for me, you know, with the promotion and everything. What?
Nothing.
Asif, it's perfectly natural for you to feel jealous.
If
think I'm jealous?
Well, we've been working next to each other for 15 years, and now that I'm getting promoted and you're not...
Mohammed.
Don't even try to defend yourself. It's very un-terrorist.
You didn't get the job.
What?
I'm sorry. I found out this morning. Leader chose somebody else.
Who? Who could possibly be more deserving than me?
Hello, father!
Illegitimate son.
Not such a bastard anymore, am I? Now that I'm the Taliban's next suicide bomber, and you're still a mere terrorist.
I knew I should never have had you.
That's what the virgins upstairs will say. Have a nice life.
I'm going to Bergen-Belsen kill myself.
For the final edition radio hour, Wilderst here with a few choice words about the scariest of all holidays, with the exception of Election Day and my next birthday, that is. Talking about Halloween, All Hallows' Eve, preceding All Hallows' Day, when many religions honor their long-gone relatives by lighting candles on the graves of the dead, which is probably where that whole ghosts and ghouls and devils and witches thing got started. But how princesses and Ninja Turtles and Mickey Mouse got involved is anyone's guess. The pagans started it way back in the B.C.s with Samhain, a harvest festival halfway between the autumnal equinox and the winter solstice. It was a blow-up before the onset of winter that featured much feasting and not a little drinking, if you catch my drift. Then, in the 8th century, the Catholics introduced All Saints' Day to coincide with all the partying, so all the good little Christians could still have their fun while honoring their one true God instead of the old false ones. Today, Halloween has morphed into scary movies and trick-or-treating and carving pumpkins and costume parties that feature much feasting and not a little drinking, if you catch my drift, turning some of us into neo-pagans, back to celebrating the old gods. Of course, living in San Francisco, Halloween is redundant. Then, on November 1st, all the black and orange is taken down and the red and green goes up, and every third radio station starts playing non-stop Christmas songs. Another Christian celebration that merged with the pagan Saturnalia, held after the solstice to celebrate the returning of the light. Then there's Thanksgiving and a New Year, and all of them are observed by much feasting and not a little drinking, if you catch my drift. I'm beginning to detect a pattern here. For the final edition radio hour, I'm Will Durst.
The final edition has been brought to you by the new Ebola. Like the Ebola, but without the viruses.
Hi-yo!
The final edition radio hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rausch, Steve Rosenfield, David Eskridge, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The final edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Link. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC. Copyright 2014.
Thank you.